Great, thank you so much. And I think this presentation actually follows very well off of the last presentation because we're also going to be talking about rates of undiagnosed illness in East Harlem and particularly focusing on diabetes rates among U.S.-born and foreign-born populations in East Harlem. And this is really a joint presentation with all my co-authors who couldn't be here to present it. So just a little background on diabetes. You know, I think we're all quite well aware that diabetes rates have been increasing at a very rapid pace across the U.S., but also in New York City. In fact, rates of diabetes have doubled or more than doubled over the past around 15 years in New York City from about 4.2% to 10.5% in 2011. And by some estimates, one in every three Americans actually has either diabetes or pre-diabetes. So really, the magnitude of this illness is growing, and 1.5 million new diabetes cases are diagnosed every year. Within New York City, there's very wide disparities in terms of diabetes prevalence. So Hispanics within New York City have about a 14% prevalence rate of self-reported diabetes, and you can compare that with whites that have about half that amount. But there's also substantial rates of diabetes in Black and African American populations as well as in Asian populations in New York City. East Harlem, in particular, has very high rates of diabetes. East Harlem is also known as Spanish Harlem and is considered to be really an epicenter of the Hispanic diabetes epidemic in the U.S. There's a very large, both foreign-born Dominican and Mexican population in East Harlem, as well as a large Puerto Rican population and U.S.-born Hispanic populations. And what's quite striking, particularly about East Harlem, is that it's located, just above the Upper East Side in New York, which is one of the wealthiest parts of the city and really the world. It has very high concentration of wealth, and East Harlem is, very poor. And you can see this, reflected in the diabetes prevalence rate. So the Upper East Side has a diabetes prevalence rate of 2.4% compared with 16.2% in East Harlem. But even within East Harlem, what's quite interesting is that Hispanics have double the rates of diabetes compared with other minority groups. So this is comparing non-Hispanic Blacks in East Harlem to Hispanic Blacks. This is actually East and Central Harlem, but they are right next to each other, and both are relatively low-income areas. So there's, a large literature documenting what's known as the Hispanic health paradox or the immigrant health paradox more generally. Immigrants have been found to have better health overall than their U.S.-born counterparts. And, this trend has been particularly observed in the Hispanic population, but an increasing amount of work is looking at other immigrant groups as well and observing the same kind of paradox. But debates continue as to whether the paradox is, really a true paradox or is due essentially to selection of relatively healthy immigrants. Basically the idea being that healthier individuals are more likely to immigrate, and if you're not very healthy, you're probably not going to immigrate. So it could just be an effect of selection as opposed to some, true underlying driver. Now, one potential exception to this immigrant health advantage is the case of diabetes, which has been observed to have a very high prevalence among Hispanics overall, but it's not exactly clear whether this high concentration of diabetes is driven by the U.S.-born population or the foreign-born population. One issue is that diabetes may be less likely to be detected among immigrants due to having low access to healthcare. And so self-report is not really the best way to go about collecting this information. So most of the information that we have, like what I just showed you, is from, for instance, the Community Health Survey, which asks you, has a doctor ever told you that you have diabetes? So if you don't go to the doctor and, because you don't have access to healthcare, you might not know that you have diabetes. There's also you know, a lot of people walking around with pre-diabetes who may be just sort of on the verge of having diabetes. Maybe they don't have symptoms, but you know, haven't quite made that transition yet. And in addition, you know, in contrast with the healthy selection argument, one explanation for a lack of diabetes advantage, if we see one, is that it could be explained by the rapidly increasing diabetes rates in sending countries. So, you know, there's an increasing amount of literature showing that low and middle income countries are making the nutrition transition. They're having much higher rates of chronic illnesses, including diabetes. Mexico, for instance, I think recently achieved the status of the country with the highest obesity rates. So this is no longer, you know, just an issue of in advanced industrial countries, but also in low and middle income countries. So it could be that actually, you know, the healthy selection argument isn't so accurate. So in terms of previous research, as I mentioned, most studies rely on self-report of diabetes status, which could be a biased indicator of prevalence, since immigrants may be more likely to have undiagnosed diabetes. There has been limited attempts, to my knowledge, one attempt to actually, in a national sample, to look at biomarkers of recent immigrants, and to try to look at whether they were unaware or aware that they had the disease. So basically, this study compared self-report of diabetes to an A1C biomarker. This is using the NHANES data. And so they were able to find that that immigrants very much underreport their actual amount of diabetes. And in addition to the question of, you know, the immigrant health paradox, few studies are powered to be able to assess whether diabetes disparities vary by national subgroups. So we just look at Hispanics kind of as a whole. But, you know, there may be a lot of variation within Hispanic, you know, this overarching group of Hispanics, in terms of rates of diabetes, you know, between, for instance, Mexicans or Dominicans or Puerto Ricans. But most studies don't really collect that kind of detailed information for us to really know. And this actually is another self-report data set on diabetes, which we're actually presenting at a poster in the next session after this. But this is just to show that actually what's interesting is that even by self-report, it does seem that there's higher prevalence rates of diabetes, self-reported prevalence rates of diabetes among foreign-born Hispanics, as well as foreign-born Asians, although not foreign-born blacks, who self-report lower rates of diabetes. So there is actually some reason for us to think that maybe access isn't an issue, and maybe self-report isn't such a bad indicator, and that perhaps, in fact, there is an immigrant diabetes disadvantage. But again, it's helpful to look at rates of undiagnosed diabetes. So that's essentially what we were trying to accomplish with this study. This study draws on a cohort of overweight residents in East Harlem, New York. The study was a randomized controlled trial to do a weight loss intervention with overweight Hispanics in order to prevent diabetes. So it's sort of a modified, you know, diabetes prevention program. But it also collected biomarker information, including respondents' fasting blood glucose over a period of 2 years, as well as other biomarkers like height and weight. The present study, what we were looking at here, was trying to assess whether foreign-born residents had higher or lower rates of undiagnosed diabetes compared with U.S.-born, essentially adjusted for other differences. And at this stage, it's fairly exploratory. So the methods, we had 633 overweight English and Spanish-speaking adult residents of East Harlem that were recruited from various community sites and with no known diagnosis of diabetes. So none of them knew if they had diabetes. And We used oral glucose tolerance tests to assess diabetes and prediabetes in addition to taking their A1C levels. And in addition to this, at baseline, respondents were asked about whether they were born in the U.S., how long they'd lived in the U.S., their race, ethnicity, nationality, and a series of questions about health-related behaviors. And so through bivariate and multivariate analysis, we compared rates of undetected diabetes and also looking at prediabetes, which is something that people don't tend to look at, between foreign-born and U.S.-born respondents, controlling for various demographic factors. So just quickly, some descriptive characteristics of the sample. You know, just looking at the top at diabetes rates, we can see here again that foreign-born do actually report higher rates of diabetes compared with U.S. or sorry, not report. This is their actual. They actually are diagnosed at a higher rate than U.S.-born in our sample. And interestingly, though, that's in spite of them being less likely to be obese or less obese compared with U.S.-born. In terms of the sample itself, the largest portion of the sample were foreign-born Mexicans, and that accounted for 52% of the sample, of the foreign-born sample. And there were actually, what we wanted to do was really do a comparison within different ethnic subgroups or national subgroups, but we couldn't find any U.S.-born Mexicans, or at least we didn't have any in our sample. There were no U.S.-born Mexicans in our sample, so we couldn't really accomplish that. But in general, the foreign-born population was, you know, demographically much lower education, lower income, you know, much less likely to have health insurance, less likely to be currently working, et cetera. And the sample was overwhelmingly female. We had some issues recruiting men in general. So just, you know, quickly, this is just looking at, again, I already mentioned that, you know, 5.6% of the foreign-born had diabetes, according to the OGTT test, and so that's compared with 2.1% for U.S.-born across all the Hispanic groups. Puerto Ricans born on the island had a very high undiagnosed prevalence rate of diabetes and higher than U.S.-born Puerto Ricans. Other groups, other, you know, foreign-born groups also had higher prevalence rates. So this is two models, unadjusted and adjusted for various demographic factors, comparing each subgroup to other Hispanic U.S.-born. So basically, Hispanic U.S.-born is the referent group. And so compared with that referent group, we did find that foreign-born Puerto Ricans, you know, had a higher odds of having diabetes, and that whether unadjusted or adjusted for other factors. And also looking at prediabetes, we found that, again, foreign-born Puerto Ricans compared with U.S.-born Hispanics, as a general category, had higher rates of prediabetes, as did foreign-born Mexicans. And I'm not showing the results here, but among foreign-born, the length of time in the U.S. was actually not associated with a higher risk of diabetes or prediabetes. So just to summarize, in a high-risk sample, foreign-born Hispanic immigrants had higher rates of undiagnosed diabetes and prediabetes than compared with U.S.-born. But these differences were primarily driven by high diabetes rates among Puerto Ricans born in Puerto Rico and seemingly among the Mexican immigrants for prediabetes. And higher rates of diabetes were observed among the foreign-born in spite of having lower body mass index than U.S.-born. But once we adjusted for other characteristics, really only foreign-born Puerto Ricans had a higher odds of being diabetic. So it seems that, in fact, at least once we take these other factors into account, that that's what seems to explain some of this immigrant diabetes disadvantage. So there's a number of limitations. You know, due to a lack of sample of U.S.-born Mexicans, it was not possible to directly compare diabetes risk in U.S.-born Mexicans versus foreign-born Mexicans. Overall, we had a very small sample size, and it's, you know, essentially a convenience sample, so the generalizability, you know, is questionable. And because people with a known diabetes diagnosis were excluded from the studies, these results are best interpreted as differences in rates of new diagnosis of diabetes and all that means. Just like to acknowledge our community action board of the East Harlem Partnerships for Diabetes Prevention and all of our community partners and our funders. Thank you very much.